cleansing me from all sin and shame. Yes, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, yes, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Oh, yes,
wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me.
He's my
Counselor
and Prince of Peace.
Yes,
my
glory
is
He.
Yes,
He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Oh, yes,
Lord, wonderful.
Oh, that's my Jesus.
Somebody's umbrella. Anybody know who that is? Is it yours, Rachel? I guess this is the designated lost and found up here. Brother Smith and I think Brother Montgomery went to a Republic this afternoon. And so they took Brother Dave with them, Ratliff. And excuse me, got a little touch of something. But it's good to be here, enjoyed today's service and the Spirit of God that came in. I felt a wonderful covering in that service, all through the service. This thing about that song that Sister Thompson, she started singing, and when she did, I kind of was thinking about how they told us it used to be in the meetings years ago when Brother Souders, that's kind of how they did it. Somebody just get up and start singing, you know, and wait on the song leaders or hey, less really, they watch the Spirit, and I don't want to ever lose that, get too formal, or we've got the same regimented schedule every service, that we have that liberty in God, and we maintain that, you know. As this church is restored, there'll be many changes made in the way we conduct our services because we don't know what it's like to have a restored church. You know, if we knew, then it would be restored. So therefore, I told somebody, is a saying of mine, I don't believe the church will be restored through an evolutionary process, but through a revolutionary process. It'll come, God will do a miraculous thing. He'll restore it in his time and in the way he wants us to conduct our lives and our services. But I was thinking about Ruth, and she was willing to forsake all. And I don't, lose focus of the what God's wanting to do in our lives. I want to maintain a righteousness in my life, but I want to grow in righteousness, and I don't want to confuse trying to be careful what I say here. Let me back up. I was talking with a man the other day, and he was telling me that he knew this guy who had a parrot. And he had this parrot, and it was a big parrot. You know, it was one of them big old parrots. I think it was them African greys. You know, they're about like that. And they had a little bitty old cage. And that thing squawked all the time, that cage. And they thought it was going to do it a really big favor. And I thought, you know, that's a big parrot. We're going to make it. They may go like a 6x6 cage, put tree limbs in there. And they thought, we're going to give this thing some freedom. And when they put that parrot in that cage, that thing went to screaming. The guy who owned its name was Larry, and he'd call him name. You know, the parrot would call him, "Hey, Larry." They say he was screaming, "Larry!" He screamed so loud and so much, the neighbors had to call the police because he thought somebody was beating up somebody over there. That bird went nuts. He didn't know what to do with all the freedom that he had. And when you've been bound in a... See, I think Brother Smith, he believes in holiness, but I'm not sure he believes in a legalistic holiness system. And when you bound people in a cage like that, and then all of a sudden you just start open it up, hey, people go berserk. I've seen churches do that. Give them instant liberty to find their self in God. And I remember just seeing people do that. You know, their pastor would loosen up on them, give them some room, and they go berserk for a while until they found the boundary and figured out where the boundary was. You know, total freedom is total chaos. I just said, yeah, anybody, you know, got a house full of kids, say, y'all can do whatever you want and be one chaotic house. Kid says, I think I want to, you know, I think I want to shove Cheerios up this other kid's ear, in this other kid's nose, you know. that ain't nothing to, you've got some problems there. Get some, when you have that kind of freedom, a total freedom, total chaos. But Paul's, I want to be like Paul. I want to be a prisoner of the Lord. I want to be bound in his righteousness and be bound in his will. Right now, I see through a glass very, very darkly. I don't know what the will of the Lord is a lot of the time. I'm seeking, I'm asking, I'm saying, God, am I that carnal that I can't see your will? Or is your will right now just hidden from me? You don't want to reveal it to me. I'm struggling here a little bit, but I've got a thought that I just want to convey, that the Lord doesn't just want us to seek him on Sunday and Wednesday, but it's a daily walk with him. And he wants us to walk in his order. You know, he establishes an order. He said, God, the head of Christ, the head of man, of every man. And I want to lead my household. And we've taken that to the nth degree, and sometimes I believe we do that, and to get every type and every shadow out. But sometimes I think we need to take things for face value. But to go home and teach our children the things of God, and share with our wives, and those our grandchildren. That doesn't stop when your children are grown. You still share the gospel with them. God wants us to win our family, share the gospel with our family, as long as they're willing to hear. Pray for them. Pray for your neighbor. Whoever God leads you to. Be instant in season and out of season. I want to live a life of, I don't want to be a hypocritical. You know, like that, and that's been a problem. In the someone wrote me a note on the internet, said, "Hey, I wrote a blog on holiness. I want you to read it." And it was a young man talking on standards and why he felt their young people were losing their standards. And I said, "You know, you really need to be careful about blogging, because it's hard to get in to what you say and how you're saying it, whether it be in love or just in your own spirit or where you're coming from." But I believe our young people are in a place, the reason they don't see standards is because growing up, they were always just told, well, brother so-and-so, he says not to do it that way. You know, oh, you can't dress wear that, brother so-and-so teaches against that. Oh, you can't go there, brother, our pastor teaches you shouldn't go there. or you can't do this, a pastor says you can't do that. To the point where they're saying, well, what about you, Mom? What about you, Dad? How come? What are the reasons why? And nobody ever sat there and pointed them to Christ. That Christ is to save them. And Christ is calling them. They're to be Christ's child. And giving them the parents not giving them the same rhetoric of every generation, but to plant something down in their child's life that they really, really see the benefit, and they see the conviction becomes theirs. If you young people don't get this a conviction for yourself, we can make you do stuff till you're old enough to leave, and then you're going to get on out of here, because you don't have the conviction. Well, I'm not saying, no, there's some people say, well, I don't make my kids do anything until they get a conviction on it. Well, I'm saying you're not doing your job as a parent if your kids don't have the conviction of it. So, and that should be the, it comes all the way into the pastorship. People have a conviction about life, about the way God is leading them because their pastor is laying out the good principles of the Word of God. In the teaching and the laws of God, and to the point where they're hungry. See, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirsteth after righteousness, and they shall be filled." You know, that's why I'm here. I've seen the way the world does it. I don't like the backstabbing. I don't like the hatred. I don't like the murderings. I don't like the railings. I don't like the evil that's working out there. And I said, you know, God, that's all I'm headed for without you. That's all I am without you. I'm just it's just like Brother York was talking about that dog this morning. That dog bit him because he was a dog. Did you know you can take a dog, you can modify his behavior. That's right. You can take a dog and you can modify his behavior. You can get him. You can teach him to sit. You can take him and you think he's part of the family, but at some point that dog is going to revert to the only way that it knows how to act, and that is in the nature of being a dog. You can take a human being without being born again. You can modify their behavior. You can get them to act just so. You can take people that cuss like a sailor and act lewd and all kinds of acts, and you can bring them to church and they can instantly watch their tongue and behave. People can modify their behavior. But they're still Adam. They're still ultimately wicked and evil. No good thing dwelleth in them. And no good thing will dwelleth in us until we are born again of that precious Holy Spirit that Christ came to give. He came to restore that he took not away. That's what we need to be pointing our young people to. It's to that precious Spirit, that this holy gospel and good news. The good news is we can get rid of this Adamic nature and a new life be born in us, and old things be passed away. Hunger and thirsting after righteousness. I want it down in my soul. You know what the righteousness of God is? It's the love of God. The pure love of God. That's the message that this body was founded on. Charity. Everything we do it in love. The instructions are in love. The worship is to point to Christ. Coming together, when we have dinner, when we're serving one another in love, we want to do all this for love for each other and love of God, the two great commandments: love God with all our heart, love our neighbor as ourself. And I want to see God glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't want to If I'm walking in a critical spirit, then I'm one of those guys who's not planted by the river. I don't want to sit in the sea of the scornful. I believe you can put on airs and look holy and be sitting in the sea of the scornful, because you're criticizing the people who don't act like you and look like you. You know, I wonder how it is that Jesus, I mean, he took it. The Pharisees, you know, they kept saying, "Well, who is this guy who eateth with the sinners?" You know. But he had something about him that was so full of the love of God, and he was right. He was genuinely righteous, in so much that the unrighteous had no effect on him. He could go right into the unrighteous, and they had no effect on him. I can't say that. I get around a bunch of wicked people. After a while, they start dragging me down. I got to get away from them. I want to walk like Jesus walked. Bible says we're to walk like Jesus walked. I want to get to a place where I hear the voice of my Father and he's leading me. He's leading me in a pathway that no matter where I go, I am living a life that honoreth him. I want to have that testimony. When you see me, you see the Father. That's a scripture that been so misconstrued. They say, "Well, see there, Jesus and God are one. So you see me, you see the Father." Well, it's obvious what Jesus was saying. When you see me, you see the Father. I'm doing his will. I'm acting out his love. And these men were he's walking healing people on the Sabbath day. Can you believe that? Yeah. Well, God wouldn't do that. Well, you know what? If God isn't doing it, then he had some kind of magical powers of his own. And we know that ain't in the Bible. He must be of God. Because he's doing good. Let me go back to that nature. What's that scripture that said, "He who was dead in the trespasses of his sin hath he now quickened, made alive." Well, if he made alive, that means, you know, I was dead. My soul was dead. It was no more alive than old Buster out there, or Bruiser, or what do y'all call him, Yvonne? Jesus. Bruce. Scooter. Poor thing. We're going to have to take a vote and name him and stick with it. But when he's dead, he's dead. Something happens to him when he's passes on, he's done. Our souls, that's the big lie that was from the beginning. Our soul goes to live on somewhere. Brother Jerry said he didn't see no lights. No light calling him, nothing. He just don't remember a thing. We have a great big God. I mean, I'm not the biggest science nut in the world, but they've been having this deal on the universe, you know. And when I see it's on, I got to watch it, you know, because I'm interested in these. I think Brother Mark's kind of like me on that. He watched the deal on MC=MC², the theory of relativity. But they were talking about other dimensions, the possibility of other dimensions right in the same universe that we're in, that there's other universes. What was the one they were talking about? Oh, yeah, they were talking about how the universe was created. One scientist said it's always been. Another one said, no, there was a big bang. Well, we know that the universe hasn't always been, because God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know how, if he used a big bang to do it, well, the matter to create the big bang come from somewhere. Had come from God, according to my Bible. If that's how he did it, it didn't go into detail in Genesis on how he done it. But it could have been a big bang. Spoke it right into existence. Boom. Bang. Let there be. Let there be. How God... they say the inner workings of the ear are so complex that nothing could just happen. Or DNA, how we're made up, and when you get everything down to the cellular level, they've gotten to a place to understand how that works. You know, the more that they've come along in technology and understanding of science, the less or the more creation scientists there are. There's more creation scientists now than there was back in the 50s and the 40s. Because they're coming to say this thing, there's no way this could just have happened. No way. God loves us all. He loves us. If you're here, you've heard the call. You've heard the call. If you've reached out to Him, He chose you. The Bible says, no man cometh to me except the Spirit of my Father draw him. God's drawed you. He loves you. He's chose you. You received His Spirit by the hearing of faith. That ought to do something to you inside. If it puffs you up, then you need to rethink. But if it humbles you, that God chose me. You know, my brother-in-law come up with a saying. He said, when I thought that God needed me, He exalted me. But when I realized God wanted me, it humbled me. He doesn't need you, but He wants you. That ought to cause you, it causes me to rethink and step back and say, if You want me, God, here I am, and I'll live any way You want me to live. I'll do anything You want me to do. If You want me to walk around wearing fruit stripe pajamas, that's what I wear. I don't know, fruit stripe gum, you can make pajamas out of it or something. I don't know that color. Striped pajamas. If that's what You want me to look like, so I can, if that was some way to convey to this world Your love, I'll wear striped pajamas with feet in them. Footed pajamas. Dad was talking about people who don't like to be confined. I don't like my sheet to be tucked in the bottom. I gotta kick them sheets out. My feet's gotta stick up when I go to bed. I can't have them being pushed down by the sheet. Does Al do that too, Elsie? That's crazy. I don't know why my feet pinned down when I'm trying to sleep. What are you laughing at, Sister Judy? No, you know, if I've got a whatever God You want me to wear, convey Your, if it's something I've got to wear, if I have to shave my head, if I have to grow it long, if I have to wear it in whatever I've got to do to convey your love, oh God. I'm going to be a witness because you've chose me. You chose me. This wicked, didn't have a chance in the world, evil guy. Al, he chose you too. That guy was running around blowing stuff up. He said, I don't necessarily need him, but I want him. I want to love him. I want to save him. He's seen you with that bottle, Sister Angie. He says, I know what she is, but I know what she's going to be. And I give her, when I give her my spirit, it's going to change her life. I don't know what's happening, but something happening. Ain't the reaction I wanted. He knows all of our situations. He knows where we come from. He said, well, why me? I'm not even going to look. Why me? Why choose me? Well, some things he's going to keep hidden, but the bottom line is he did. Song, we used to sing it, Sister, what was her name? Chosen of God. She went there in Brownwood, Sister Thelma. Thelma. No, not McCluskey. She went to McCluskey's church, but she wasn't a McCluskey. Yeah, was it? I just showed you how old that they were, because she was old when I met her. And well, the McCluskeys was like in their 90s when everyone was in Brownwood. And they go way back with Brother Souders. Remember the McCluskeys? Chosen in God for redemption's plan. Chosen in him, I'll follow the Lamb. For he loved me, he saved me. And he to pray. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the way. That's somebody got the understanding. Chosen me. That ought to humble you. It humbles me. When I stop and think about it, it gives me no right to thumb my nose at anybody. It ought to be give us more compassion to this whole world. People you see struggling. People right in church that are struggling. God chose me and the mess I was in. Sister Elsie, you're still a mess. Straighten up over there. No. And the mess that we were in. The Humpty Dumpty situation. We'd fallen and we couldn't get up and we were broken into a million pieces. The same God that put me back together again can put those lives back together again. Let us have compassion and mercy on our brothers and sisters. Let us ask God to help us live in a light. In a light that would cause them to say, there's God and I want more of that. It caused them to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's just a few things I had on my heart. I wanted to share them with you. Pray for Bo Smith. He's trying to get this kennel consolidated, and then we're down in the short rows of it, so to speak, but it's also crunch time. You know what crunch time is? It's like football. You're in the 2-minute warning and you're behind by six points. You got to get down and score a touchdown and kick the extra point or you're going to lose the game. Well, it's 4th and 10.
Yeah, they understand football. It's 4th and 10. And they got a he's got one chance here. Yeah, no, it's just getting crunch time. It's like when we was getting ready for our ministers meeting. And all this still we didn't, you know, trying to get it done, what was left here to do. And it's kinda like that right there. We're trying to get some things done. Almost he's about got it. Once he gets it done, he'll be breathing a sigh of relief if he don't have a coronary before he gets it done. It'll be something. So keep him on your prayers. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to be in church. We've had a good day. I felt the wonderful covering of the Lord this morning. Had good food. I'm back with you folks this evening. Praise God.
Testify, my treatments was over last Thursday, and I'm feeling fine. Thank the Lord. He's been good to me. So they said it'd take a couple of months, maybe, to get my energy back, but I feel pretty good. I just thank the Lord for all you people. I'm sure you was praying for me, because God is just that way. He lets us feel the need of our brothers and sisters. And while you're praying for me, I'm praying for you. And I have a feeling for each one that's not here tonight because they're not able to be here, such as Sister Jackie and others we know that's been sick a long time. Some people can't make it. I can't help but pray for them in my prayers. I'm understanding better how older people feel, and it makes me appreciate the older people that are here and as faithful as they are. And I think each one of them here, especially our four sitting here, and normally Sister Jackie included, that they suffer pain all the time they're here. So is there anybody here that feels no pain in their body? There ought to be several raise their hand. Are y'all suffering? How many don't feel any pain in their body? You need to thank the Lord for that. Not children, I'm sure they don't suffer any pain right now, unless they got a toothache maybe. But to be faithful, even when you've got osteoarthritis and your bones hurt, the joints don't have much lubrication anymore, and you have to take a painkiller or something just to get around. I understand that. And I thank God that I'm still here. I'm still getting around. And I thank the Lord for the health that I have. And most of all, I'm so thankful every time I get in church. I keep thinking about what all that this church has been through. I'm familiar with it from the beginning. I was in the military. I had just joined the Air Force, and when Brother Sister Foster and Brother Sister Weaver, or Brother Weaver anyway, was writing letters to Brother Tucker in St. Louis, hoping to get him to come back. And of course, it caused Brother Tucker to inquire with the leader at that time, and they prayed about it, and God gave him a dream and showed him that. And he got authority from ministers above to let him come on down here. And so Brother Tucker worked in order, and God helped him establish this church. And I've watched it through those first 3 or 4 years, and I came by and picked him up a time or two to help him back and forth when I went home on furlough. Enjoyed it. I seen the church in the early days in Brother and Sister Foster's home. Got to visit there for a little while during their meetings. And it's a privilege to see how far this church has come. And to see, I've been in the body a long time, and I recollect a lot of things and can see what this whole body's been through. Can't go all the way back to Brother Souter's early years, but he was still living, and I got to see him. And when I was in the campground before he died, and I can remember a lot of experiences in those old days. Some great meetings in St. Louis that he was in, and made some outstanding statements. It's memorized by many people. I'm thankful for those experiences and what this body means. I am aware of many problems and negative things that happened in the body. But don't we all realize this may help some people? It seems like a negative thought, but we have to acknowledge that there are negative things in this world because we still have a nature to deal with. And we all make some mistakes. Is there anybody here that hasn't committed sin? You know, I just mean that, to think of it and understand that none of us are perfect in this day yet. We do believe we're going to reach perfection in a restored church, don't we? If we have to be resurrected to make it. But it's a wonderful thing, and yet God help us. Help us have, I asked Brother Smith to look up insight, and let me study that word. There's several meanings to it. The one I'm thinking of is the inspiration that comes from the Spirit of God, that God gives us an understanding of some things. Some of the problems that the early church went through. And that early church began with problems. They suffered a great deal, those people did. In the early church, some of them were martyred. Many of them were martyred. Most of them died some way in a terrible way. They went through something. But we do believe and have some evidence that lets us know some of them reached perfection. That early church, because there was a power in that church, and that power was the Holy Ghost. It was the Spirit of God working in them. And we believe, like Brother Smith was showing us, he commented about it in Bible study, about the seven churches that's been taught to show as a type of the various stages the church went through. Represented by the horses, how the white horse began to turn color, representing the church getting sin in it, and it began to go down. And yet we see the restoration of the church in the backward side. It comes from the pale horse back to the black horse, the red horse, and back to the white horse. And that's a restored church, and it's coming back. Do you think that any time during the church period, from the day of Pentecost till now, you think there was any churches that was completely perfect? Every person in it was just as pure as Jesus Christ? I don't believe it. I don't believe there ever has been a time like that. But there's been a church. You know what I see a perfect church is? It's a church that can produce an overcomer, a person pure and overcome sin. I believe it can happen. I believe it's going to happen. Somebody's going to make it. Amen. I believe some of us, if not all of us, are going to make it if we stay in here. But what I'd like us to realize is every one of us here are sinners. And we need to admit that. We need to recognize that. And when we see problems in the church, when things don't seem to go right, some things that humiliate, embarrass us, and we think it's wrong, and there's not a minister you'll find that's perfect either, and they'll make mistakes, or you'll perceive mistakes, more perceived probably than is actual. But wasn't God's people, even Peter, every one of those, even apostles, made mistakes. One of them made a horrible mistake. Old Judas made a big mistake. Then why can't we accept one another as we are? Shouldn't we get to a place to where we don't condemn one another? We may see the faults, but if a good father has a number of children, a good, godly, righteous father, like we men would like to be, and they're trying to be, but if your child makes a mistake, it's right to correct them. It's right for you to try to teach them and correct them. You can't beat it in or out of them. You can't make them do right. They're going to make mistakes. Sometimes they'll do wrong in the wrong spirit. They'll be intending to do harm. And you'll have to teach them. I watch young people today, and I'd like to correct them a little bit, but I just see myself in them. I remember myself when I was that age, and I just can't help but grin. Bless their hearts. I hope we can help them to grow up, don't you? But don't you know that if a good father loves his children, even with when they make mistakes, and you may have to bail them out of many conditions and problems and save them. You may have to pray through for them, your people. But don't you know a minister and all of us brothers and sisters ought to love one another so much that when we see errors and mistakes and people suffering for conditions and problems, let's not gossip. Let's not talk about it in a negative way, but let's pray for them. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in love. I feel that way. And those that have been hurt, those that have left us, I don't have any hard feelings toward any of them. I know there's been some mistakes, but I've made mistakes, and who am I to condemn and criticize others? I find myself in that attitude sometimes where I want to criticize. And then I find out, who am I? Who am I that I would criticize anyone? My Lord, I made more than my own mistakes and faults and failures. But I'm so glad to be here. And thank God for Brother Smith, really trying to get us to see that there's hope for every one of us. God's not finished with us yet, and he may not finish his work while we're alive here. But he's life himself. He produces life. God can raise you from the dead 1,000 years from now if he wants. 2,000 or 3,000 if you want. God is able to do everything. He can do it. And if your heart, we can learn to bear this. We can learn to grow in him while we help one another and strengthen one another and confess our faults sometimes one to another. I appreciate testimonies where people tell what they went through and what they've suffered and how God helped them, how God's saved them from this or that or the other problems. And they're here, and they're still here. I know families that helped establish this church, who raised a good-sized family of children. And I've seen every one of their children was out of church when they reached their final years, and very disappointed in their hearts for their children not finding this vision and grasping it, holding on to it. I'm one who's seen my whole family separate as this body of people shook years ago, and I'm one who hurt tremendously over the separation of our family and the division that it caused. And my holding on to this group of people wasn't altogether a righteous one. It was a carnal one. But thank God for that. I'm still here. It was carnal because I was in love with Joyce. I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And also, I had a conviction. You may not understand that. Not just a great conviction, but just a belief. I had been taught and trained that I couldn't date a girl outside of this body or outside of our church. And so my girlfriends were all, I'll admit there's a couple exceptions that I had interest in, but I never dated any girl outside the body of Christ. And I fell in love with little Joyce when she was too young. And I knew I couldn't get too serious with her. So along the road, my family got shook out, and I was going just to see her. And I liked to committed a horrible sin when I heard the pastor of the church, the leader of this body, condemn my father openly. And it was because my father saw his wickedness and kept his mouth shut. Instead of, they said he vomited on anybody that come and talked to him. I know better. But nevertheless, I went through some of those things. And God helped me. God helped me through it, and some people helped me through it. But I finally realized I had no place to go. My father searched and just about studied every other religion there is in Christianity. And he never could find a place to rest. And I have the joy and satisfaction of knowing that my father... tapes of our services here as I traveled around in my work and gave him some of the tapes, and he began to listen. They found out the Holy Ghost was still working here in this people, the old way, not the way it was when they left. But they heard us shouting, people getting the Holy Ghost, and Mom and Dad sat and wept. And even when they told me, they enjoyed the tapes so much. And Dad asked Mom, he said, "Honey," he said, "do you think we ought to move down there and get in church with them?" He said, "I'd just like to be there in one of those services." I said, "Well, goodness sakes, Dad, come on down this Sunday. Come on down and be here." And he was. And they sat right there and wept until Dad said, "Well, we've just got to move down here." They wound up moving in this little house right behind the church. And I'll not tell all the story about it, but nevertheless, while they were here, I got to baptize my own mom and dad back into the body. However, in his age and weaknesses of his body, he couldn't stay in church. He just became incontinent, and it was so embarrassing. He said, "Well..." And then one day, he's a carpenter, and he worked on that little house, restoring it. And one day, he had to go to the lumber yard down here. And as he went down there, he just puttered along in his truck so slow that it aggravated other drivers. And one of them cursed him out and just really run him down, hurt him so bad. He just shook. He had to pull over and stop. I don't know if he was mad or just hurt so bad he didn't know what to do, but he come back home straight, and I didn't even go on to the lumber yard. And he come home crying, and he told Mom, he said, "We're going to have to get out of this godforsaken city. I just can't stand it. If we can't go to church here, we can send our offerings, we can listen to the tapes, but I'm going to have to stay home anyway." Anyway, but nevertheless, that's winds up seemingly sad, but they continued their faithfulness in tithes and offerings to the church until they were gone. And I appreciate that. God has been good to me. I regret that my family is still out. They're going to churches, Pentecostal churches, and so they're still serving the Lord in their own way. And I trust, as Brother Smith has taught us, we're not the only people that's going to make it. There's many of people out there that's going to find salvation completely. We haven't found it yet. We're not saved yet, but we're being saved, thank God. I believe we're going to make it. And I believe many other people, I trust somehow, the rest of my family will make it somehow. But nevertheless, I want to make it, don't you? And I'm saying that this church is the most wonderful church I see. I don't know any other church I'd want to be in than this one right here. This is the best, I believe, for me. I don't know what other people would. If God wants you to be in a different church, then I hope you know it's God when you move. Because I couldn't move. I couldn't move here. And it seemed like God was dealing with me about it. My wife was all for it, but I judged her wrong. I judged her as though her only purpose for moving here was for Mom and Daddy and the family. And I wouldn't go on that.